Hello, welcome to Sonic Cereal. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark, and in this podcast we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're discussing The Bends by Radiohead, and it was produced by John Leckie, Radiohead, Nigel Godrick, and Jim Warren, and it was released in Oxfordshire. It was recorded in Oxfordshire and London, and it was released in March 13th of 1995.
Literal facts.
So facts.
And today we're doing tracks number 4 from the album, Fake Plastic Trees, number 5, Bones, and Nice Dreams, number 6. So let's start with track 4, Fake Plastic Trees. The green plastic. You want to sum it up in one sentence?
Yes, please. This is another mopey acoustic quintessential 90s alt anthem that happens to be the third single off the album.
I'd say it's a melancholic song that critiques the artificiality and superficiality of modern life.
Sure does.
What about some background?
Well, the band first performed this song in February of 1994. And it was recorded at the legendary Abbey Road Studios in London, which is famously known for its association with the Beatles.
Did you know that?
Yeah, it's on that album cover where they're the Abbey Road.
Just checking.
All right. I do know.
Because you did that to me in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm. Rude. And I'll do it again.
What about production?
Well, Tom recorded the final vocal take after a particularly exhausting day. He reportedly performed the song twice. And then he insisted that he couldn't perform it any better, which many critics believe give the song its hauntingly raw vocal delivery.
And the band had also been touring a lot during that time, so there were emotionally drained as well.
Yeah. I think the exhaustion also influenced the song's weary sound and introspective mood. Totally.
And the track featured a string arrangement that adds to the sort of dramatic, you know, the big crescendo in the song. And the orchestration was intended to enhance the emotional impact of the song without overshadowing
its rock accents.
And producer John Leckie aimed for a spacious and organic sound. That's how he described it.
I can see that.
Encouraging the band to capture the emotional intensity of the song. The recording was done live with minimal overdubs to preserve the raw feel.
And it also has an acoustic guitar and the usual rock elements. Sorry, excuse me. Including strings and an organ that Paul McCartney used on the Magical Mystery Tour.
And we just talked about Abbey Road.
Yes, we did.
Wow. That was not planned.
Yeah. So, after seeing a performance by Jeff Buckley in London, Tom got inspired to record the song and integrate falsetto in his singing.
And from this song?
No. Anyway, he recorded the vocals with an acoustic guitar in 2 takes, and then he broke down in tears. And so the band had to dub their parts later. Yeah.
That's deep.
So anyway, Tom's vocals melodies also sound similar to Elton John's Rocket Man at some parts.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. This is also one of the first times that Johnny Greenwood would write for strings, even though now he's a renowned film composer and recording with orchestras.
Yeah, he's come a long way.
Baby.
American producer Bob Clearmountain.
I did not want to read that because I couldn't figure out how to say it. And you just, it's just Clearmountain.
He did a mix of the song, and Tom didn't like it. He said it was horrible because I guess it cut too much elements of the song out.
I think those are the best kinds of remixes.
Yeah.
Or mixes.
He's just like, I like the a cappella version. What do you think this song means anyway?
You tell me.
Well, Tom said the song is about Canary Wharf, which I guess is a big shopping...
bougie.
...town in London, I guess?
It's like Rodeo Drive, kind of.
Yeah, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, the song's lyrics depict a world filled with artificial and superficial elements, and they symbolize... It's symbolized by fake plastic trees. And it reflects Tom York's critique of consumer culture, how everything from emotions to relationships can be commodified and made artificial, much like plastic, which is synthetic and lacks authenticity. Well, so it's like...
Well said.
It's like, just toying with the idea of nature... The organic versus the synthetic.
And scene. Some interpretations also see the song as a comment on environmental issues, with the fake plastic motif serving as a metaphor for humanity's destructive and artificial impact on life.
Yeah. He said that this song also came from, like, a melody that was in his head. And he said...
Wouldn't all songs...
No. But he said it. Anyway, the lyrics tell a story about someone who is surrounded by artificiality and materialism. And one lyric that stands out for me... is he used to do surgery for girls in the 80s, but gravity always wins. It's kind of cheeky. Is there a music video for this song?
There is. It was directed by Jake Scott, who is the son of Ridley Scott. And he also directed R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts video. And this video was shot in a hangar in the Van Nuys airport where Casablanca was filmed.
Have you been there?
I've been to the Van Nuys airport. I don't think I've been to that hangar.
It's cool.
Oh.
Just kidding. It features Tom York in a supermarket filled with surreal and artificial elements, filled with generic products. Well, it just looked like glowing food color inside of a mason jar type of thing. Yeah, you get the idea. And also each band member is riding around in shopping carts with their instruments, and lots of bus stop people walking around. And it could easily be a Gucci commercial. Do you get that vibe?
Yeah, I get that vibe. Because of the colors and the fact that everyone looks really harsh in their own way.
Yeah.
You know, like the woman that's dressed up looks really harsh and the cowboy guy. And
yeah. It's fitting that it's in a shopping market because don't they kind of depress you?
No. I love shopping, like grocery stores.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Is it the act of shopping or the grocery store itself?
The grocery store itself. The really? Fluorescent lights, the sad people.
We go to a Whole Foods and there's no fluorescent lights or sad people.
It's not candlelights and hot people.
Yeah, but would you want to buy your groceries at a, yes. At a club?
Yes.
There's a new market opportunity.
Let's make it happen. So, isn't there like some actor in this music video?
Oh yeah, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead is in this music video.
That's cool. He's in a lot of music videos.
Yeah.
He was in the Bjork Violently Happy. Guess that's just what you do when you...
His scene.
Yeah.
He probably liked, you know...
Yeah.
New people who knew people that...
Yeah, totally. Well, anyway, Beavis and Butthead watched the video, and they said that Tom looked like Ed Grimley, who's that character that Martin Short plays from the 80s.
Sometimes if I have a boner that won't go down, I listen to this kind of music.
You watched it, right?
I mean, it was on, like, classic SNLs. I think his character was. I don't know a lot about it. I just knew who he was.
All right. Live performances.
Wait. Did you just say you hated grocery store music?
I hate grocery stores and I hate grocery store music.
So you just said you didn't like the stores because of the lighting.
Well, I also hate the music. That's the worst part.
Okay, well, you're going to gloss over that.
I wanted to talk about it. It makes the shopping more unbearable. What if that's what hell is like?
Walking around a grocery store and listening to
crappy soccer Panda mom box. Music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
What about live performances?
Hey. One of the most famous live performances of fake plastic trees occurred at Glastonbury in 1995. And it's also cited as a turning point for the band, where they proved their abilities beyond the studio. York's emotional delivery, coupled with the crowd's response, made it a memorable event.
You were there.
Yeah.
Oh. The last time they played this song was in 2018 in Philadelphia. It's ridiculous.
As Radiohead's music style evolved in the late 1990s and 2000s, incorporating more electronic elements, Fake Plastic Trees remained a reminder of the band's roots in live performance, and it often brings a nostalgic element to their records and concerts.
You basically said that it's like they went from being rock to what they are now, which is, yeah. And this kind of was a... something that you could say was on the rock side.
Yeah.
Before they started the evolution.
Definitely.
What about remixes?
Well, there's the Fake Plastic Trees remix from the Polish Ambassador remix.
I really like the Polish Ambassador. If you're not familiar with them, check them out. Polish Ambassador.
Nice.
And then there's the Moonlight remix by It's Mr. Toad, which is a very moody, synthy kind of cover. That's the one that I played where the...
Oh,
the,
yeah.
It's like twangy but synthy.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
There's a lot of covers of this song as well.
A lot.
Yeah, so I'm just going to name a few.
Well, why don't we take turns?
Christopher O'Reilly.
Kelly Clarkson.
Vance Joy.
Amanda Palmer.
And that's it.
No.
There's also Scala and Kalachny Brothers, a Belgian girls choir.
Phoebe Bridgers, featuring Arlo Parks.
And Frank Ocean. That's awesome.
It was a I listened to it as like a live one.
Okay.
And a lot of people are talking while he's doing it.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. Has this song been sampled?
It's been sampled in 4 songs. Okay. The first song is Rodeohead, and that's by Hard and Firm.
What? It's spelled P-H-I-R-M. Yeah. And that's from 2005.
Yeah.
What else?
The song Creep by Conan O'Brien and the Legally Prohibited Band from 2010. And there's that song LOL by
Seven. Do you know that song? Yeah. You do?
By Seven Smith from 2015.
And there's a 1995 The Hood Internet. And that came out in 2021.
Yeah. You just ready to end it all?
Speaking of ending it all, let's, how about some trivia?
The single artwork appears to be vintage footage from the 60s or 70s of a woman at the beach with like one of those white bars over her eyes, and that they used to use that to protect people's identities.
Right? I always thought they were black.
I know, but white for artistic...
Because it's at the beach?
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Was it in any... Has been in any films?
It was in the 1990 film... The 1995 film, Clueless. And when Tom York was asked about it, this was his response at the time. He said, no.
Come on. You'll be so happy you did.
They're just average, two-dimensional Beverly Hills kids. And the person who is actually listening to them, to us, in the film, is the only three-dimensional character. So the answer is, fuck you, we're 3D people. Oh, we're for 3D people. We're 3D people.
Yuck. The maudlin music of the university station.
Wow, wow, wow.
Not that funny.
It was also in Westworld, speaking of 3D people.
And I just found out today there's a beer called Fake Plastic Trees, and it's brewed in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, how about some original and misheard lyrics? Or just misheard lyrics, as his friends call them.
Yeah.
The original lyric is, and if I could be who you wanted.
And then the misheard lyric is, if I could be Julie Waters. Julie Walters. Who's Julie Walters?
That's Dame Judy Walters to you. Thank you very much. Who received widespread critical acclaim and international recognition for her breakthrough role in the 1983 film Educating Rita, where she portrayed Rita, a hardscrabble working-class hairdresser with a thirst for knowledge. And this earned her an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress. Thank you very much.
Okay. Just imagine you on the red carpet asking some TikToker that question. You'll be like, hey, where's Julie Walters? And they're like, who? And you'll be like, excuse me, that... Alright, let's move on.
Let's move on to track 5. Bones. Let's sum it up in one sentence.
It might be a spooky song, but it's not. This is probably my least favorite song on the album. It sounds a little Queenie. Like Queen, the band Queen.
I know what you meant. I would say it's a forgettable rock anthem that explores the fragility and decay of the human body.
So goth.
Speaking of goth, let's talk about the background of the song.
Well, Ed O'Brien and Johnny Greenwood said this was recorded the same day as the Bends and was done in one take, which makes sense since they both sound similar and have the same vibe, and I don't care for them that much. I don't.
Why?
I don't know. They're just not my vibe.
Tell me what your vibe is.
Dark, down, and sad, and slow.
Okay, and what's this vibe?
It's just like too whimsical.
Okay.
I'm confused.
You just.
Where are we?
Anyway, I beg to differ about your description. I think it features layered guitar tracks that utilize a mix of clean and distorted tones. Ed O'Brien and Johnny Greenwood used various effects and pedals to create the song's rich textured guitar sounds. And critics say that distortion and reverb play key roles, enhancing the song's intensity and depth.
For sure.
Or,
well, we've talked about production, but what about the meaning?
Well, the lyrics of Bones deal with physical decay and the frailty of the human body. And Tom York describes feelings of physical breakdown and the inevitability of aging, themes that resonate with kind of the broader existential tones of the album.
You're really bringing me down.
Okay, just, what do you have to say?
I just feel like it's like someone who's watched one too many Life Alert commercials.
That's literally a Debbie Downer episode.
When you fall and cannot get up, an accident can turn into a tragedy. But with Life Alert...
Well, there's like references to Prozac and painkillers. And this lyric right here, it rubs me the wrong way for some reason. And I used to fly like Peter Pan. All the children flew when I touched their hands. Put that on my gravestone. It's so messed up. We just watched that thing with the miners and
gosh. All right.
We're gonna get canceled. Okay.
He's gonna sue you. One of the people that you like respect the most as a musician is gonna subpoena you, bring you to court.
Why?
Because you just slandered him.
Live performances. Well, Bones was more frequently performed during the tours following the release of the Bends. Over time, however, it has become a less common in the band's life.
A less common? A less common what?
That's what you are, a less common. Get out of here. Reflecting perhaps the band's shifting musical direction and the physical toll of performing more demanding rock songs as the band members aged.
Damn, age is much.
I hate him. Growing old is stupid.
Remember we were watching that thing where they where they pulled like the movie with that you were watching like earlier in the day.
What are you talking about? Anyway,
the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, Side Effects.
Side Effect.
Side Effects.
Side Effects.
Okay, well, in case you didn't know this before, apparently aging is the great equalizer. Or, no, it's, what did you say? It's kind of an equalizer. Not many people realize it.
Well, it's the one thing that everybody... Everybody does.
Yeah, but like, and then for some reason there's some divide. Even though... I'll stop talking.
Okay, the last time they played this live was in 2006 at a music festival in Budapest.
Yeah.
Any covers of Bones?
For your bones? This song has been covered by Rosie Carney.
And what about trivia? Let's do some misheard lyrics. The original lyric is, when you've got to feel it in your bones.
And the misheard lyric is, well, you've got to eat your vegetables.
I can see it.
Yeah, that's your...
If this was...
You get it?
If this line was in the song, people would be like, oh, he's so, like... He's such a cool writer.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sticking by that. All right, track 6, Nice Dream.
This is a soft and mellow song with some heavy rock moments about how acceptance may be unrealistic sometimes.
I would say it mixes gentle acoustics with dreamy strings, beautifully capturing the ups and downs of chasing after the perfect dream.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Tom wrote the song in 1992, and they recorded a demo, which sounds like this, in 1993. All right, let's talk about production.
The song features intricate guitar work highlighted by acoustic guitars that intertwine with electric arrangements. It begins with gentle, dreamy acoustic chords before escalating into a more dramatic, electrified section that underscores the thematic shift in lyrics. It sounds similar to Nick Drake's At the Chime of a City Clock, where the four chords are just going down a half step. And then it goes into all the usual rock elements.
Then and. And then. All right. It also features strings composed by Johnny. You're just calling him Johnny now.
Yeah, why not?
And the song ends with some whale sounds from a cassette tape that was recorded in the Arctic. That sounds from sounds that producer John Leakey got from an aquarium in Vancouver. Wait. This song ends with some whale sounds from a cassette tape of Arctic sounds that producer John Leakey got from an aquarium in Vancouver. I said a cassette tape of...
Listen. He was hanging out at an aquarium in Vancouver, and he went to the gift shop, saw these tapes, and on one of the tapes is it... Arctic sounds, and he was like, I'll try it. Because maybe that's what he sleeps to. I don't know.
You were so close, and then you just messed it up at the end.
Damn.
No, it was perfect, actually.
Hey. But what does it all mean?
What does it all mean? You tell me.
Well, the protagonist talks about a dream he had where angels respect and appreciate him. Kind of sounds like a cult.
I can see that. But at one point when he needs help in the sea, the angels aren't available and make the excuse that the sea would electrocute them. What are those lyrics?
I call up my friend, the good angel, but she's out with her answer phone. She said that she'd love to come help me, but the sea would electrocute us all. It's... Oh, these lyrics reference a Kurt Vonnegut book called Cat's Cradle, where a crystal is dropped in the sea and it causes it to electrocute you.
That's a cool reference.
Have you read that book?
I haven't.
Have you read any Kurt?
Kurt Vonnegut? Yeah.
I haven't.
This is the seminal piece, but I was more reading like a overview of his work. Me? Oh, I thought you were going to say, because it was dropped in the sea and it causes it to electrocute you. And then I'm saying, me?
You sound like a kid walking with his mom, and she's just like,
okay. Okay, what about live performances?
We got live performances.
We got them in the house.
It has appeared sporadically in Radiohead's live performances. Its live renditions often bring a more intense delivery of electronic segments, adding a layer of rawness that is sometimes less apparent in the studio version.
And the last time it was performed live was in 2009 at the Leeds Festival. You think they'll ever perform live again as a band?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Why not?
What about covers?
I mean, is there a band that stayed together for like 30 years and then disbanded? They ever come back together?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway. What about covers?
What about them?
Well, there's a cover by Matthew Herbert featuring Mara Carlisle, and it was released in 2006.
What kind of music is it?
And like electronic.
Oh.
Or dance. I don't know. Sometimes people are just lazy and categorize things as that. Electronic equals dance. And that's why people always get confused when you say you make electronic music. So they're like, you make dance music? I was like, no. Anyway, it's just sad that they're intertwined.
Find your light, girl.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I like to dance as much as this next guy, but I don't. And we're back.
There's a 2003 Vitamin String Quartet cover, and they're a classical little group.
And there's a Christopher O'Reilly piano version that was released in 2005. I'd say that's easy listening. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
All right, calm down. Anyway. Has this song been sampled in anything?
Yes, our old friends Hard and Firm are back with another use of one of Radiohead songs. But that makes sense because the band's name is Rodeohead.
Yeah.
So, of course, everything they do is going to be related.
Yeah. But why Hard and Firm? Anyway, speaking of funny, it's noted for this song being in parentheses, which suggests a sort of ironic or questioning tone.
Is that how you thought about it? Why did you think it was in parentheses? Or you just dance through life not paying attention to anything?
No, I feel like maybe it was in parentheses because he's like, I don't really want this song in here. Just so you know. It's like, I don't like it. That's all I'm going to suggest. Like,
remind me to delete it.
Yeah. It's like, I really didn't want this.
What else?
Well, it was considered to be released as the first single to promote the album, but they decided to go with High and Dry instead.
Good choice.
Yeah, definitely. I like that song more than this one.
As far as misheard lyrics, there's the original lyric, I call up my friend the good angel, but she's out with her answer phone.
And misheard over here going, I call up my friend to go lynching, but she's up with the rent-a-float. What's a rent-a-float?
Did you say lynching? You say lynching and then you say, what's up with the rent-a-float? Like the rent-a-float is the problematic part.
I didn't say it. So that could be a country song. Because the float seems like one of those like trashy things you get.
Like the Sacramento River
people. Yeah, Sacramento River trash. Shout out. Okay. I just realized I might like this album a little because it reminds me of some of the songs on Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. And that was my first album I ever bought. Would you agree?
I would agree. I wouldn't have put it together, but yeah, I can see that.
I didn't realize that before.
Anything else?
Oh, I forgot to mention that this band dedicated the album to comedian Bill Hicks. It was Bill Hicks, right? Not what you put here. I won't mention that man's name. It's blasphemy. Anyway, do you know that comedian, though? Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
Are they funny?
Not as funny as the other.
Do you have anything interesting to say about them?
No.
Why do you think Radiohead dedicated this album to them?
I don't know enough about them to know.
You act like you're on stand right now. You're on trial.
I feel like I'm being cross-examined.
I was just asking. Just your opinion as to why they might have dedicated... Just forget it.
I already said no once.
Dead. Okay.
Because I thought you were going to say the other comedian that's named Bill.
And you were like...
Dead.
Okay. Anyway.
Thank you for joining us for this lively, informative, and hopefully entertaining episode of Sonic Serial. Next week, we will cover songs
Just my iron lung and bulletproof. Wish I was. ... Wish I was.
So. Hope to.
This is me. ... Now. All right. Good night.